everyone. Welcome to yet another episode of Omaha Talks. Today we actually have a guest. Today it's not just Brandon and I rambling at each other. I am Parker Steele, co-host of Omaha Talks, here with co-host
Brandon Herbel.
And today our esteemed guest is Mr. Brandon Kane. Welcome to the show, Brandon.
Thanks, glad to be here.
Yeah. So first off, Brandon and Brandon are pals.
Yep.
What you guys want to talk, how you guys met, who you are, how this came to be?
Yeah, I mean, I knew him through the person he was living with, Kristen, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't even know her. I knew her through, like, she was like a friend of a friend. She, like, knew my friend CJ. And, yeah, I just saw that you moved here, and I was like, he looks like he probably could use some, like, new friends. He's new in town. Just hit him up.
And, right.
Yeah, the rest is...
And you're like, this dude from Nebraska's reaching out with the olive branch, you know?
And I took it. It was cool to see someone who was covered in tattoos. You know, back home, my friends aren't covered in tattoos. And we listen to some of the same things, but we're a very diverse group of friends.
Okay.
You know, a lot of them are, you know, just blue collar workers, but just regular everyday people. Like, they don't, I don't want to say they like dress normal, but like, you know, typical bootcut jeans, t-shirt. They just wear whatever. And I was always the one that was a little different. Always, you know, I was the kid wearing the Jenko jeans, and then I was the kid wearing the skinny jeans, and I grew my hair out before other people were doing it, and I'd put braids in my hair. And
like me exactly. Yeah.
Jenko jeans. Not the first time that's been brought up on this show, actually, the Jenko jeans.
They're coming back.
Yeah. I had the one with the kangaroo insane. And the boxing gloves.
That's crazy. I remember that.
Yeah. I had them all.
Man.
I had one.
The taxi cab, like, checkers on the side.
Oh, my God.
I had one that my mom bought me, and it's this kind of tell how interesting our relationship is, and she's just super funny. Back when Jenko jeans were coming out, there was also Trip and Sinister. There were a few others, but... She bought me these pair of Trip jeans, and inside the zipper had a ruler, and it said size matters.
Oh, wow. Was she aware of the zipper gimmick?
I don't think she was.
Yeah,
right. But she was one who was just always down with my image. So, like, she was, you know, she'd be the first one to
She was like, go out there, be different.
Exactly. She took me for my first tattoo.
Oh, that's cool.
Took me for my first piercing.
Nice.
You know, I really wanted an eyebrow ring, and she's like, nah, girls will love a tongue ring. And I'm like,
dude, all right. My grandma took me to get my tongue ring.
That's funny. Yeah,
she took me and a friend to go get my grandma, who was like 65 at the time, probably. Jesus. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I guess while we're talking about it, my mom went with me to get my eyebrow pierced as well. But I did get my tongue pierced eventually, but that's a whole other... God, we're just 90-ing it up right now.
Yep.
But you grew up in Boston.
I did.
Okay. When did, your whole life? Just Boston?
Yeah.
Omaha?
There was a short time where I lived in New Hampshire.
Okay.
And then after television, I spent a lot of time in New York, a lot of time in Philly.
Okay. Just kind of bouncing around a little bit.
Yeah. Just trying to really see things. Television was something that allowed me to do something I'd never been able to do before, that was travel and get outside of Boston and, you know, see cities like New York City and Definitely. Philadelphia and Baltimore. And
so growing up in Boston, like, or really the East Coast in general, like, I love to ask people this question. You lived in Omaha now for, you said, about 4 years,
mm-hmm.
5 years. What does this abysmal area on the map, how is that generally perceived from, say, people in your neighborhood?
So when I first met someone from Nebraska, I asked them if they had, like, I was like, oh, do you guys have, like, running water?
And,
like,
yeah.
I guess it's like the East Coast is very much in a bubble, and it's very much as exposed to things as you are. You are a little sheltered from the rest of the world because you're kind of up your own butt so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you're like, we are the center of the universe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, even though I lived in Massachusetts, I'm from a part of Massachusetts called the South Shore. You don't leave the South Shore.
Sure.
Like, the rest of Massachusetts, they always make a joke about it. It's right. Like, it's, so you have like the, you have what's called, like I said, the South Shore, and they say Boston. Then right here it says Midwest, and then it says like there be dragons. Like, we don't even know what's out there.
Right, the edge of the world.
Yeah, it, it very well could be. I found out there isn't dragons out there. Right. It just leads to New York City.
Right. So, okay, so I guess may as well get there. So Brandon was a cast member of the Rear World season in St. Thomas.
I was.
Which is in the Virgin Islands.
It is.
Damn. So you get, you hear they're auditioning for a new Rear World.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, something I always wanted to do. I never like sent in anything, but I'm like, that'd be cool.
Oh man, that would just be too terrifying for me. I wouldn't, I, no way. But you see this and you're like, why not? I'm doing it. Let's go check out the show.
Yeah, well, it was actually a little different than that. So at the time I was homeless. You know, I left home with nothing. Part of it was a stubbornness. Like my dad didn't realize how bad things were for me. And otherwise he, you know, he would have probably taken me in, but I was kind of too prideful.
You're like what? 20s, early 20s?
Yeah. So I was about 24, getting ready to turn 25.
Okay.
And I decided to sleep at my mom's house that day. And I was sleeping on her floor and she slammed the door that day, which she's always really quiet. And she left the television on, which again is something she never does. And so I heard that there was a casting call in Boston. And like I said, I didn't have anything going for me. I didn't really have a real stable job. I didn't have a permanent place to stay. I never knew when I was going to eat. I was like, dude, you know, you may as well. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I called a buddy of mine and I said, hey, man, let's go down to this casting call. So we went.
He's like, what?
Yeah. At first he said no.
Yeah, right. He's like, yeah.
Absolutely not. Yeah, and he called me back about? 15 minutes later and was like, you know what, dude? Yeah, let's go. Like,
sure.
Why not?
Right. That's awesome.
So, and then how they do it, they set you up in a room. They call in 40 people at a time. So there was 20 in this circle, 20 in this circle. They ask you some basic questions. Then if they liked you, they handed you a packet. I went downstairs, filled out some paperwork, did another quick interview. Then they called me in a few days later for an on-camera one. And then a few weeks later, they called me to go to New York City. I'd never been to New York City, so I was a semi-finalist. And then a couple months after that, they called me up and they flew me out to LA. And then it was like another month or so after that interview. And then they said, I said, it's kind of a bit of a cluster. Like it's a lot of work. It's a very long process. It's very stressful. I'm not going to get any pity from people saying it was so stressful, but it is like your nerves are going 100 miles an hour.
Well, we're talking.
It's also like months in between, like hearing back and then like, oh, I guess I'm going to New York now. Oh, okay. Like you 2 months later.
Yeah. Like, and we're talking about like MTV, you know, they're not sparing any dime filing through, I'm guessing, hundreds of thousands of people.
By the time I had gone up, if I'm not mistaken, it was, I forget the exact number, but it was either 2,000 or 4,000 people had already interviewed in Massachusetts, already in downtown Boston, and jeez. I was there by 11 a.m., maybe noon.
Ooh. What did these interviewers, what were they on? I mean, that's not human, man. You know? I mean, those people had to have been, like, so mentally conditioned.
They've got it down to a science now, so they basically, they have people that are like experts in personality, so you fill out a lot of things about your personality, so they actually have it down to a science. Sure. What kind of person they pick, but how you'll interact with the castmates, to almost a science. They know who's going to couple up,
right?
They know who's going to be outcasted, they know about how it's going to go. And then of course with human nature, there's always a monkey wrench that's thrown in there that they didn't see coming, but they've, for the most part, they've got it to a science. Sure. As to how this all goes down.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's super interesting. Yeah. And it makes a lot of sense too.
It is. I mean, well, and you know, now that as you're explaining that, I'm kind of thinking about, it's like, yeah, there are certain like tropes or archetypes that you see throughout, you know, like I'm not a Real World expert, but yeah, that,
but it's not, you would think all sense. This is like scripted, but it's more of just like not scripted. They just know who the people that it's going to cause for entertainment.
Well,
right.
So it's dropping some bombs.
It's not scripted, but they know how to egg on a situation as well.
Okay.
So they know about how you're going to interact, and then they know how to egg you on. So every week you're required to, we've all seen The Real World, right? So,
oh yeah.
Or the Jersey Shore, they mimicked a lot of what we do too.
That starts tonight, by the way.
Big fan. Big fan. So when they go in that little closet and they sit and they talk about the week, yeah, and they vent, that's something that's required. You have to do that. You have to be talking about things in the house. But then they pull you aside once a week and they interview you, which again, you see it go like, when you see them off to the side and you see like a cast member speaking about a particular situation and it, mm-hmm, looks like it is something that had just happened.
Right.
It's once a week that they're doing that. So then what they'll do is, you know, let's say all of us are in a house.
They're going to show that to the other people, right?
Well, no? Yeah. So what they do is they say, so how do you feel that Brandon said he could take your girl? I'm like, what? What do you mean? What do you mean he could take my girl? Then I go in the house, I'm like, Brandon, what are you saying stuff? He's like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Meanwhile, you didn't say it, but now you're being confronted. And you're also, the cameras change you. It's very weird when you become very aware that you know you're going to be seen and you're going to be known. So, ugh, men in the house started walking different. Huh. They would like walk with a strut when the cameras were on. They would act a certain way. But then we were also, so although we were on St. Thomas, we were actually on our own island called Hassel Island. Used to be connected to St. Thomas, but they actually separated, so it's not much of a separation. It's like it's swimming distance.
Okay.
But you need boats to get off the island. So then what they do is they egg on the situations, they pump the house full of alcohol, get you all liquored up. So they look at you and say, boat's broken. And you're like, and you see what they're doing, you know they're full of it. And I was like, no. Like at one point I was screaming at them, I said, I want to go, and they said, fight it out. So you can't. You go mad. Like, I think I snapped day one. I think I cried on day one.
When they say fight it out, now obviously they're talking about your roommates, the other cast members.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm guessing because only so many people could be on the boat or, like, no. So fight it out was just start some shit, and maybe if it's good, if we get some good footage, the engine will start working, I guess.
Yeah, okay, basically. Okay. So when things were getting... So here's the thing. For a very immature cast, we were also very mature. A lot of us just decided not to fight.
Yeah.
And we would ignore each other. So it got to a point where I look like a crazy person the first couple episodes, but that only takes place... The first 5 or 6 episodes takes place in the first 2 or 3 weeks. And I gave up the alcohol in there because I was going insane.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what we can say on air or not, but
whatever you want.
We'll edit it if we have to, but yeah.
The cocaine was fantastic on the island too.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So I mean, you're on an island.
That's gonna be my next question.
You're on an island, it's full of cocaine, full of some of the best pot you can get, full of rum.
And it's clearly being procured for you guys. You guys aren't having to score.
We do have to score. Oh, okay. So now there are rumors. I won't say who told me and I won't say the person they got it for, cuz I don't want to blow up anybody's spot.
Sure.
But I was actually told that in one of the challenge houses, one of the cast members does have it supplied to him because he's got a nasty, nasty habit.
Wow.
They
wanted him that bad.
So, now I can't confirm that. That could have just been something that someone was telling me to hype me up. But I know when I got kicked off for doing it, I was the only member to get kicked off for doing it. Most of the time they try to help someone out.
Sure.
But I was completely... Once I was off the island, man, I was also then kind of cast out from everything because stuff like this. I would come out and I'd be like, oh, no, here's what they do. And they're like, no, shut up. I'm like, nope. Chirp, chirp. Yeah.
Well, and it's not like you have motivation to stay quiet. It's not like they gave you some kind of a
disclosure
agreement or whatever, you know, like, okay, maybe.
there is for the first year.
Okay.
So certain things I didn't speak about because I couldn't, but I very much talked about I was talking about things that very early on that people, they just didn't have the balls to do it because they knew they'd be cast out. Right. And sure enough, that's what happened to me. I was the only one who wasn't invited on a challenge. I'm the only one who has no affiliation because I called them all out and they didn't like that. So
you went back to like the reunion part of it, right?
I did. Yeah. And after the reunion, I was so fed up. Because
was it weird?
No, because again, they make me look like a weirdo if you watch the season, but I ended up getting along with everybody because I kept a stable head.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't one of them from Omaha?
Yes. Laura was from Omaha. Okay. So when I came out to visit her, Omaha was one of my biggest support cities. Omaha, I will say this, man, they are so loyal and so faithful to people. So when I started working and people would come up to me and ask me questions about the show and I'd be like, man, I'm at work. Mm-hmm. They very much respected it. They don't harass you like they do at home. The culture here is definitely something that tries to be a bit more understanding and a bit more like, hey man, let's leave them alone. Like they don't care about tattoos like they do other places. I mean, where I do, I get a little bit of crap, but for the most part, if you're a good, hardworking person, it's really all they care about out here.
Such a level of politeness in this area of the country. You know what I mean? It's like people would be like, oh, he's probably a nice guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's like the assumption. I mean, very rare. Although I will say, guys, I experienced, not on my behalf, but I witnessed some road rage today, and I just want to, that is so silly to me that there are people in Omaha, Nebraska that have this intense, maybe you're in a hurry, maybe you're blah, 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 but we're 15 minutes away from anything. And I saw what happened, and these guys are stopping up traffic, screaming at each other. It's just like, what in the hell? Total tangent. I needed to talk about it a little bit because that's fucking ridiculous. So if you're hearing this and you get road rage, why don't you just take a step back, okay? People make mistakes. Maybe he didn't mean to cut you off.
I never get road rage, but I think about like getting out of the car. I'm just being like, all right.
Dude. Worst thing you could do.
Well, but it's just like, you need to calm down.
Fantasizing is good, but.
No, yeah, I fantasize it. I'm not going to actually do it. Anyways.
All right. Okay, so really quick. All right, so you start doing the show, and you clearly have no frame of reference because you've never been on Real World before. So this is like, I have a lot of trouble saying that. Real World.
Real World.
Jesus. So you don't know what you're getting yourself into.
No.
And this is a particularly different, to my understanding, from what you're telling me, different season than like maybe more conventional.
Very
like
much
New
so.
Orleans or New York or Seattle. Like those. Right.
There's at least another, like it's in a city.
Yeah.
Where this you're like somewhat secluded.
Literally secluded.
Yes, very much secluded.
Yeah. So you get there like, it seems to me that it didn't take you very long to figure out that this was pretty sketchy deal.
Yeah.
I mean, for lack of a better word, you know, like you were like, this is fucking weird.
Well, so when I got there, they dropped me off 6 hours early at the hotel and left me. And I couldn't check in for 6 hours. So I was like, well, what do I do?
Yeah.
So you become very much aware, what your worth is to the industry, and you're a piece of shit to them.
Yeah.
So anybody who wants to get into the Hollywood scene, I can't speak for the celebrities, but I can only imagine that Hollywood is similar, and you are worth nothing.
Yeah.
You're a lab rat to the experiment that they're wanting to film.
You really are. Yeah. You absolutely are.
Yeah. And I mean, when you agreed to do the show and you started doing it, like, did you have any idea, like, you know, maybe if this works out, like, I'll do this, like, you know?
You're going to laugh. I always wanted to be an actor. I always wanted to live in L.A.
Sure.
I always wanted a model. I always wanted to know what it was like to be one of those beautiful people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up watching The Real World, and those were always the coolest guys.
Sure.
So, when I got picked, I felt special, and I really thought that was it. So I tattooed my hands and my neck immediately after, and I was like, "That's it, man. I'm going to Hollywood, man. I've made it. Like, this is what you see in the movies all the time. Like the nerd made it."
Whose mom left the TV on?
Whose mom? Left the TV
I mean, on. It is pretty, you know, providence or what? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Total happenstance, but
so it made sense that I would then become something special.
Right. Right. I mean, this is almost like Hollywood Babylon. Like, this is like, you know, you get there, like, you made it, you go to the place, and it's like, the fucking lights turn off. It's like, oh no, this is totally darker.
Yeah.
You know, than what you assume. So, what were some of your other, like your castmates' reactions to this? Like, I mean,
they ate it up.
Yeah. Yeah, they were designed
for much designed for that environment, and it's why they did very successful. Like, Marie is still doing challenges, and she was very much made for that world. And She's going places and I'm stoked for her. She deserves it.
What do you think that is? Do you think that's a love for the camera? Or do you think that's just certain people are just...
You're going to love the camera.
Yeah.
I miss it every day.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I wish I had some way of sustaining it. I'm not going to lie. It's really depressing some days. Like sometimes it's really hard for me to talk about this stuff because when I wasn't anything special, when I realized I was famous for no reason and I had no way to maintain it and I knew I was going to lose it, I freaked out.
Okay.
And so I still have a hard, I'm not going to lie. I still have a really hard time dealing with the fact that, that I was like almost famous and like the kids, you know, I remember when I went back home and some kids bullied me in high school. They were like, "What's up, has-been?" Oh, they're like, Jesus almost, Christ. They're like almost famous.
Oh,
and meanwhile, my God. Season is airing and it's going on. And I'm like, you have no idea what's in store for me. So when it happened, I was like, wow, like, I don't know how to get it back.
What a bunch of assholes. Hey, has-been. Oh my God.
While the show's on, the show's on television.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, you know, I think that's really significant because I've never really considered that. You know, I've never thought about that, you know, and we're definitely living in a paradigm of reality TV show, you know, like that's definitely
everything
permanent part of entertainment right now is that form of television, you know, and,
but even Instagram is like, you know, the Instagram famous or any of that shit. It's all like perception of like,
but you want it, I would take it.
Right.
Sure. I would say getting into fame over nothing.
No, because
sure. I got a taste of it. And I realize I may sound a little desperate at that point, but you definitely miss it. You long for it. Like, you know, I miss the days when I got stuff just because of my name.
Right. Well, yeah. And you had to have good days. I mean, you had to go out.
Oh, yeah.
And people would be like, oh, shit, it's that guy.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, then I got to, you know, my buddy bought a camera and started snapping photos and. Again, I hope this doesn't sound wrong, but I discovered I can be a little photogenic with the right photographer.
Mm-hmm.
So he took some photos that looked good and, I've been published 4 times now. I was actually published again last summer. So, you miss it. You miss it. And there are some days I still wake up and, you know, I go to the job I'm going to and I'm like, man, how do I get it back? Like, what do I got to do? Like, cause it's the ultimate dopamine hit.
Sure.
It really is. I don't know if you guys have ever done anything before, but like as someone who was completely addicted to like cocaine for a long time, it's the ultimate line cause you never come down. But then when you do, it's like I was really suicidal. I had a really hard time dealing with losing it.
Right. Yeah. It makes sense, man. I mean, like, I've played in bands, you know, and love performing, love it, love it, love it. And, you know, recently being a family man, you know, that's a lot of reason for the show is just like being able to do something creative, be able to make something. I don't have to be out of town. I don't have to be at a bar until 3 a.m, you know.
You get to meet other people. You get to socialize.
And
a little bit of spotlight.
Something out of it. So I definitely identify with that. And it's... Actually, you know, I would go so far as to say, like, it's almost sometimes hard to go to shows because I'm like, fuck.
Because you want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's rough. So I know exactly what that sounds like. Well, I was doing a little poking around yesterday and today. I found your YouTube channel. Watched some of your stuff. I think that's cool. You know, some of the things you were talking about, you reviewed the Siddhartha book.
I did.
Which is great. It is. I've never read it. I'm familiar with... You gotta read it. I'm big interested in Eastern religion, West, everything, occult, all of it. And yeah, exactly. But you know, one thing that I think is really cool that people are able to do, like, is utilizing. Let me see, how do I verbalize this? You know, you have that need, right? And it is a need. Mm-hmm. It's a need. You know, I like attention. It's affirming.
Yeah.
Like it makes you feel good.
It does.
You know what I mean? And I think that, you know, that is such a slippery fucking slope because it can go horribly, horribly wrong or horribly right. You could be the guy And I've definitely been susceptible to this, you know, that like sucks the air out of the room or like, you know, is having a rough day. And guess who else is having a rough day? Everyone I encounter, you know what I mean? And it's like, or, you know, you can go to the gym and screw, you know, you're having a rough time, make a video, write a song, you know, like dump some of that stuff. And even if it's not good or if nobody sees it and it doesn't make you any money, like whatever, it's definitely worth something. I think it definitely gives you like that, like, it's kind of like a, like, it's not like smoking a cigarette, but maybe it's like eating a piece of Nicorette gum, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's why I,
sort of analogy there.
It's why I liked my, you know, I like doing the YouTube videos every once in a while.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about making them a little better, a bit more professional.
Yeah, they look good. And for people listening, tell them your YouTube channel.
So it's just Brandon Kane. I think some of them are under Brandon Brutality, which was my old name. And I just, at first, for a while, they were just a bunch of rants.
Yeah.
But I got rid of it because it was just, I got rid of most of my videos because, again, I don't want to be one of those people kind of pumping negativity into the world all the time.
Sure.
That's what I was doing.
Yeah.
And people were eating it up because I was just a lunatic.
Right.
But now it's, you know, I talk a little bit about mental health. Just did one on cutting and self-harm. Did that one on Siddhartha, like you had said. So I've been exploring Buddhism and Hinduism and trying to adopt them into Christianity.
Cool.
Because I was one of those people that became, you know, I bought into everything with my political side, when I finally picked a side, it was like I was diehard about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or when I became Christian, I was, you know, okay, let me go to seminary school. Let me do this. My religion's better. This is all what makes sense. But then once you start really exploring things, you know, I'm kind of at a point now where I agree with Hinduism more than any other religion. Not to dive into it, not to tell people what to do, but for me, it was, I appreciate the yoga. I appreciate the meditations.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. Appreciate that they believe that all walks are the right walk. Provide, you know what I mean? Like, as far as like, if you're a devout Christian or Mormon or Buddhist or Jewish or whatever it is, if you're trying to walk the proper life, they believe that you get there. And so I love how loving and embracing it is versus where I was really someone who was so caught up and I was like, it's Jesus Christ is the way, he's the one. And I know this. And it's in the arrogance of that statement.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not the smartest guy, but like the arrogance of the statement that you would understand whatever deity created this world that we live in is
it kind of belittles the deity.
It does.
You know what I mean?
It does. It absolutely does. Said that.
I'm like, if you think, you know, the guy in the corner or whatever, it's like, you think you figured this, the creator of all that is, you figured it out. It's kind of an insult to what's going on here.
It absolutely is.
You know what I mean? So I definitely appreciate that. Have you been to the Hindu temple here in town?
I have not. It's something I really want to do, though.
Go. Is that the one that's on 132nd and
yes, center? Yeah.
Yeah, it's right by my gym, and it's gnarly looking.
Beautiful.
It's awesome, yeah.
Beautiful. And anybody listening, if you're interested, I've been there a couple times, once with a class and just once on my own. It's you go in, take your shoes off, and inside there are, multiple shrines. It's a Ganesha temple. It's focused solely on Ganesha, but they're offerings to the other deities. And, it's beautiful. Everybody's super nice. Like, nobody looks at you weird.
Oh, the people are incredible. Yeah. That's one thing I really love is, you know, when you meet people from India and they've, you know, I think at first they're a little skeptical because we have, you know, as Americans, we're not always the nicest to newcomers.
Like, what is this shit?
Exactly.
What's this goofy shit?
That's not American.
Yeah.
It's not American. Can't put bacon on that.
Why has Jesus got an elephant head? No, just kidding.
But they're rad. So when I my buddy Neil from back home, I think it's awesome that I can just ask him any question about his culture and his people. And he's like, man, I really want to take you to India.
Yeah. Dude, my wife spent time in India. She was there for about a month.
Did she see the monasteries?
What's that?
Did she see the monasteries?
Dude, all over the place. She went everywhere. I mean, they went everywhere in the area. I wish I could tell you exactly, but so she's like, I love all that stuff. Anything like old dealing with religion. I don't know. I'm just a total geek for it. So I'd love to get there. But so talking about Hinduism, and now we're talking about the real world. There's a very, I think ego might be the underlying, you know what I mean? Like the elimination of ego right now, because we're talking about,
well, I think
that's how we're connecting these two.
One thing that you guys mentioned is that like attention, like everyone wants it to be, wants the attention, like good or bad. But like, yeah, I don't know. I think it, like it's, everyone just wants to be loved and like involved in something.
Which begs the question, if you, if someone who totally attains, you know, nirvana, enlightenment, you know, or even is just comfortable with themselves, do they, is there still that want to be famous? It's a very interesting question. Because I like, you guys saw the Netflix thing, The Wild, Wild Country.
No. I mean, I've heard about it.
But, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, really, like, I just think it's interesting. I don't know. I might be getting a little too fourth dimensional here. I spent a lot of time in the sauna today. I'm a little... But
I think you can kind of have both. I think you can... So, and they talk about it in Hinduism, that there's nothing wrong with enjoying worldly things.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with wanting it. It's what do you then do with it?
Sure.
So there's absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to be famous, with wanting to have money, with wanting to provide your family with good things. But as long as you're doing it and you're loving on people, so it's like...
You're not shitting on people.
You know, one thing I love, look at someone like Joe Rogan. Okay. Look how, you know, once he established his podcast, look how much he tries to reach out to people to bring other people up and get them noticed.
People that he doesn't typically agree or normally agree yeah. with as well.
And yeah. he's willing to do that. Yeah. And so I think you can absolutely obtain, because man, the world's beautiful and there's a lot of really gnarly things here. And I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to dive in. Like,
sure.
Who wouldn't want to drive an Audi A8 or drive a Bugatti or like... walk around a castle, like, of course, you know, mankind has created beautiful things. I know we love to look at ourselves as these wicked beings, but we've created a lot of beauty, and I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to obtain it. It's just, why do you want to obtain it?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to disagree with you, though. I know yeah. a couple of people from Grand Island that have no interest in doing any of those things. Mm-hmm. Brandon.
What?
I'm talking about small world people. You know what I mean? There yeah. are people in the, they're just like, no. You know what I mean?
And there's nothing like, and there's nothing wrong with
like
that.
Like we were talking about the at the beginning of the show, you know, like just not limiting your experience. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. living in your own bubble.
Oh, I think a lot of people do that for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just out of comfort. Out of just yeah. Just
I think there's something admirable about that though. There's something really admirable about living a simple life and being comfortable with it.
Well, but you stop yourself from a lot of experiences that humans should have. You know what I mean?
You do.
Like we should be challenged, or we should be scared. You know, or
cultured.
Yeah, we should be shooken up because yeah. you know you walk away. I don't mean to sound like I'm not on a soapbox telling people to get out of their house and travel the world.
No,
that's not the case at all. But no, you're right. I mean, there's just such a variety of experiences to take in, and to deny yourself those. You know, I think you might be doing yourself a disservice, but I'm not a world traveler. But let's take it back to the third dimension. So you leave the real world. You go back to Boston.
Yes.
What happens?
A shitstorm.
Yeah.
So I, as a child, was from a place called South Boston.
Okay.
But I was going to Quincy Public Schools while living in South because my dad lived in Quincy.
Okay.
So... I went on the real world and I had mentioned Southie in Dorchester.
Yeah.
Because I wanted people to know that I actually had roots. Now, I completely understand how it looked. It looked like I was trying to rep a neighborhood. But I at the same time, I feel like I have the right to rep it. I spent a lot of time there growing up.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I am a Quincy boy for the record. But, you know, I spent a ton of time in Southie as a kid. And so... that pissed a lot of people off.
And that's serious shit in Boston. Like, the neighborhood thing is...
It's serious shit anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Well, I mean, not so much around. I mean...
Well, try saying you're from North Omaha.
Yeah.
Try repping, you
South
know...
Omaha. I mean, it is true.
I mean, I don't know... Like, I don't know things. If people would get so upset, you know? Like, I have friends that live in Boston mm-hmm. that...
Probably not to that extent, though.
Yeah.
But people definitely claim where they came from.
And, like, New York yeah. friends. Like, it's a little... Like, let's say if I told somebody, I was like, yeah, well... you know, I grew up in Benson, and they're like, well, you actually kind of grew up in Dundee. They'd be like, oh, well, Dundee, Schmike. You know what I mean?
Right.
It would be like, right. It wouldn't be what I think you're about
to tell me. A shitstorm.
Yeah, a shitstorm.
And so it was, you know, I wasn't really safe anywhere. But then also people don't like to see you doing well. Mm. So all the kids that bullied me, then the harassment got insane. Like I couldn't go to bars. I couldn't go out.
And they just walk right up to you, right? And just like,
and just swarm you and try to, most guys don't have the balls to punch anyone in the mouth because they don't want to get hit in the mouth themselves.
Yeah.
But throw stuff at you, scream at you, cuss at you.
Oh God.
Make you real uncomfortable. So it was really hard to cope.
Yeah.
So I try to get out as often as possible and get to New York or get to Philly. And
so you're just kind of bouncing around at this point.
Yeah. Because I was trying to cling to any moment of fame that I could. So anytime that I got to spend with another castmate, put light on us, got us more likes, got more attention, okay. Got people coming to pages.
Okay.
So I was trying to rack that up as much as possible.
And is the network paying attention to stuff like that?
Yeah, so they go by demand.
Okay.
And there was, it sucks to admit, but there was no demand for me, so there was no...
Yeah, I find that so hard to imagine, because it seems like...
Most relatable person.
The most interesting person. I mean, granted, I haven't spent any time with any other cast members, nor have I didn't watch that season, and I didn't want to before I talked to you, but... That just seems so silly.
But also just like a relatable human that's dealing with...
Yeah, they're like, yeah, he's a little too human.
Yeah.
Just they a want little real, too human. They want real, but they don't want real, you know, because people want to watch television and still live in a fantasy. So I think they had a really hard time where someone's like, oh, I cut myself. And they're like, you know, even someone who does it themselves, they're like, I can't live in the fantasy anymore. He's ruining it.
Yeah.
Here's a man who's okay crying on television when something hurts his feelings. Here's a guy that's getting in people's faces. Like, right. Here's a guy that's... I think that even though I was very relatable, I think they didn't... That's not what they were looking for when they want entertainment. And so although it was entertaining, I think that I might have been too raw.
Okay. Do you think that... Let's take that... Same cast, same scenario, everything the same, plus 5 years. Do you think it would have been a different deal?
If I could go back knowing what I know now, it would have been completely different.
But I mean, like, let's say it wasn't...
You were in your 30s.
2012. Yeah. Same everything. I just mean, do you think, like the public, the network, like, I feel like mental health is a little bit more of a conversation right now. So I feel like...
Yeah, you're right. Like, I think
some of the hot points you were mentioning
would not have been... Exactly. I think they would have...
The fucked up thing is then you probably would have become the star, because then you would be, like, the poster child of, like...
Well, that's what it is. It's all...
Advocating.
That's
well,
what
that's
industry
what I'm
is.
Saying. But
yeah.
I mean, yeah.
That's what the industry is. It's all timing.
Yeah.
Yep.
And yeah. Yeah. You know, I was...
You were ahead of your time.
I was. I was waiting for the wrong bus
that
came 5 years later. And now it's like, you know, what do I do to get it back?
Right.
What do I... Do I even have the time?
Yeah, man, that's super interesting. So, like, as far as, you know, your ties to MTV, I mean, like, I'm sure... There's got to be some kind of, because all that stuff gets released digitally, people buy it. So you probably are always going to have some kind of a relationship with the network, right?
Well, it just aired in Canada.
Okay.
Again.
Okay.
So, I mean, the season does still play.
Okay.
Your wife posts about it all the time.
She does. my wife's fan. She is. She's got this, so she loves my writing. She's got this weird obsession with me becoming a rapper, which I can't believe I'm saying out loud, where people are going to listen. But she's just like, that's what she wants me. And she's like, you got to do spoken word. You got to be rapping. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
My wife really does just think, but my wife thinks I can just be anything.
Yeah.
And.
Well, she loves you. That's cool, man.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And you're like, rap. All right.
What? Where do I, like, the thing for me too is like, let's say, for instance, that's what I want to do. Right.
Is there any famous Boston rappers?
No.
There are. No?
House of Pain.
Ah, touche.
That's it, though?
Well, right? Yeah, because now they do war porn.
They do what?
So the guy from House of Pain and the guy from Everlast are in a group called War Porn.
Oh, okay. I thought this was a new genre of music happening in Boston. I was like,
yeah, oh, so man, it's like violent pornography yeah, on tape.
Right, right. Yeah, man. I mean, yeah. How do you just jump off and start being a rapper? Fuck, well, I have no
idea. The funny thing is, like, I try to work real hard so my wife doesn't have to work as much, and it's like
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, I guess Marky Mark does count. He was a rapper.
He's really the famous. Only one that I can, like, I'm looking at this list, but.
The funny thing is, I don't even know when I'd have the time and buying like studio equipment and microphones, and it just sounds exhausting.
Yeah. I think spoken word would be great, man. I think you'd enjoy it too. I think you'd enjoy it. I think
I just gotta do it. That's right. I mean, that's what it's all about. Just get off fucking doing it.
Yeah.
And I just,
yeah. Just go up there. I mean, the worst thing that's gonna happen is somebody like gets up to take a piss. You know what I mean? Like, there's no...
You suck!
Yeah, and it's like... I mean...
There was spoken word at Benson First Friday a couple months ago. So, yeah, I mean, it's around. I mean, there's definitely platforms for it.
And definitely, even, like... God, they're always doing weird art, like live art or stuff in, like you said, Benson First Friday in the Pet Shop Gallery, and, like... I feel like those would be so if anybody listening, you know, hit up Brandon if you got a slot open. He's gonna do it.
Yeah, if you want your favorite rapper's favorite rapper on your next beat, man.
There it is. So what do you think, man? Like, is Omaha your home? Are you permanent transplant or what?
Probably not.
Okay.
I don't know, man. Honestly, anytime I try to make a plan for my life, the universe tells me otherwise.
Right. Yeah.
I would love Colorado. I mean, the great thing, so I'm just so impatient. I want there to be more already. But I mean, Omaha is a great little hub. It's also very supportive. So like, even if I wanted to do something silly, like be a rapper, right? Like, Omaha would be a great place because people are just so supportive and they're so loving. Like, Omaha would be a great stepping stone for anything you want to do. Or if you want to act, yep. Like, I would love to do a short film. You know, I dig all that stuff. And like, it really is a matter of me just actually trying to reach out to people and saying, hey, I'm interested in what you're doing. And they're always down to bring people on. Like, you know, we definitely live in chaotic times, but the people here are always willing to put you on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not hard to get some kind of a gig here doing what you do, you know.
It's a great place to raise a family and get your... you know, your feet on the ground, figure out what you want to do, and then, you know.
Yeah, the one thing I feel like that I had trouble with moving here, I've been here for on and off a little over 10 years, was just like, I mean, it was kind of pre-social media, you know, and it was just like, it was like looking at the ocean, you know what I mean? Like, and trying to find, like, where's that one little spot? I mean, I was like, I don't even know, you know, so I just jumped in and started swimming around. And now... and you know, I did meet people, but now it's just like, man, it is so easy to just reach out, you know, what on whatever platform and you're right. People, I mean, just in doing this show, you know, like, this is my only kind of creative, endeavor outside of music.
You will not see him outside of the house unless it's the grocery store here.
Yeah. No, yeah. Kidding. I mean, it, yeah, just no, kidding. That's very, no, you're exactly right.
I think for me, I'm just scared. You know, I've kind of gone through it. Like, I think I'd be scared to put, I think that's why I've ultimately kind of stopped writing over the last couple of years, was because I was really scared to put myself out there again, mm-hmm. getting so much attention. I think it'd be really hard to spill my guts and have someone be like, that sucked. When it's something that matters to you. Like, so I think that's what's scaring me the most is like, yeah, I would love to do some spoken word or do some hip hop or try to scream on a microphone, just all these things for fun. But I, for me, if I'm being perfectly honest with myself, it's a lot of fear of rejection.
Sure.
Yeah. Fear of rejection, it's failure. It's all, I think that's everyone's problem.
You know, it's so easy to say like, well, if they don't like it, fuck them. So easy to say, but I don't care who you are. The toughest dude, you know, like I am a big comedy fan, big time into comedy. And like, I mean, those people go through hell, You know, it's not like playing in a band. You're playing in a band, you're playing music, and people are like, that sucked. It's like, well, the fuck it. You don't like it. You'd be like, whatever.
It was the drummer's fault or whatever.
Or you'd just be like, you don't like good music. Yeah, yeah. You know, fuck off. But when it's just you and a microphone and like, oh.
I think stand-up comedy is one of the most impressive things in the world to
do. It's amazing.
I give props to anyone who has the balls to get up there and do it. That's...
I've tried it a few times, and I've never been more afraid ever in my life. I mean, it's fear... like nothing like it. It's almost like being in like a crisis situation. Like your brain almost goes to that same place, fight or flight or whatever, where you're just like fucking ever. You're on the tip of the fireball. I don't know. It's crazy. Listen to me telling you this, trying to get you to do it. Like your asshole crawls inside you. No, it is crazy, man. But definitely try that stuff out. Do you like, okay, so you got the YouTube channel. You say you're writing stuff like. Are you, outside, like, as far as Omaha is concerned, like, are you doing anything else with anybody? Like, I know you're wearing a Grin and Barrett shirt. Do you work with those guys or?
Yeah. So, Jeremiah from Grin and Barrett, has just been a good friend of mine and he's taking real good care of me.
Cool.
So they're, you know, they're someone I rep and, right now I'm not in there 'cause of some financial things, but, McDoyle's is another place that's really dear to me.
Okay.
Anyone out there listening who knows the reputation of McDoyle's, do not tie me into that. They are way tougher than I am. I just get punched in the face.
Oh, that's a gym. That's a gym.
Yeah, it's a mixed martial arts gym.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
So I just get choked a lot and kicked a lot and punched in the face a lot.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot to bring that up. In one of your YouTube videos, you're talking about martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you do right now?
Well, right now I've kind of taken a break from everything. So I'm trying to focus on school. I'm really trying to focus on setting my family up.
Sure.
But one of my passions, believe it or not, and again, this isn't me boasting. I'm not trying to say I'm a tough guy by any means. I'm not. I love jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So I'm fortunate enough to work with a group called NVM Jiu-Jitsu. And they sponsored me. They sent me a gi. And, that's one thing I wish I had more time for. There's something very spiritual for me when I'm doing jiu-jitsu. And again, I'm awful. I just get beat up the whole time. And, I'd be lying if I said I didn't sit in the car and cry once or twice from how, you know, 'cause it's a pride thing. It's pure ego. I'm not in pain, but just get smashed around. But if I could, I'd be doing jiu-jitsu, you know, 4 or 5 times a week. This is something. And I love the gym, man. I love McDoyle. He's become very dear to me. And my coaches, Willie and Rocky and Josh, like just coaches who just really want to see you grow as a person. And you're tapping into something primal, but there's something about jiu-jitsu that I really love. And I'm looking forward to being able to get back in there.
Dude, that's awesome, man. Like, okay. So now we're kind of switching roles here because I have danced with the idea of I did martial arts as a kid,
mm-hmm.
and I was a big fan of like
Ninja Turtles.
who didn't love course. Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, come on,
Three Ninjas.
Oh man,
Rocky, Colt, Tum-Tum.
And Tum Tum. Rocky loves Emily. Yeah, Rocky loves Emily.
Dude, absolutely.
Little dudes, we don't want to hurt you. We just want to kidnap you. I love those movies.
That dude's pooping his pants and they punch him in the stomach. Yeah. Brilliant. But I keep toying with the idea of just getting back into it and like to compete or to do anything, but I just love to work out. So I'm going to take your recommendation and get some advice from you because I actually just earlier today, I'm like Googling, like looking up the local places and there are a lot.
McDoyle's.
Yeah. I just don't have the time to shop around for it.
McDoyle's.
Okay, there it
is. So his thing. So
where is it?
It's on 108th and I'm drawing a blank on the street right now. We'd have to Google it real quick. Someone pull up the Google. It's on 108th and like Pacific, I want to say.
So when you. Is it kind of like, I mean, it sounds old school. Like when you say the names of those trainers, would you say like Rocky, Willie? I mean, like this sounds like old school, real deal gym.
It is, but it's all about family. So Rocky's the boxing coach.
108th and Blondo.
There we go.
Perfect. It's up the street.
Yeah. It is.
Shit.
So McDoyle is this dude from Ireland. He's a 2-time world champion Muay Thai.
Holy shit.
They've actually had more Muay Thai champions than any other gym in the United States. Rocky is the boxing coach. He focuses just on boxing, just punching.
Cool.
And then you got Willie, who can do a little bit of everything as well. And but it's I mean, these are men who are absolutely, they're a little more old school, but they care. They genuinely give a shit. Like every once in a while, they reach out just to let me know they miss me and they're thinking of me and they notice that I'm not in the gym.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
And it's absolutely incredible. It's affordable.
How'd you get into that?
I was bullied my whole life.
Yeah.
I was tired of walking in a room, being scared of every guy in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I even when I would dream that I'd get in a fight, I would like hit somebody and nothing would happen to them. And then I would just like get mauled.
Right.
So I was just tired of being scared all the time.
So you said, did you get into this as a kid?
No, I just got into it. So I had done it for about a year before I took a break.
Okay. Okay.
So I've been out of the gym about 2 or 3 months now. Okay. Just focusing on school.
Man, you know, some of that, like the stuff, again, like fear is definitely the motivator for me. Cause I'm just like, dude, I'm just going to get twisted up and just get frustrated. Yep. You know what I mean? Like,
and you will. And you will. Like, and you're going
to
get
cry in the car. I won't make it to the car, dude. They'll be like, where'd that Parker guy go? I'm like, oh, he's in the restroom.
But understand that they know that you're going to, and like,
yeah,
they're not judging you. They're not trying. They're hitting you to make you.
You're there to learn from.
But they're trying to make you stronger. They genuinely want you to feel good. And so I went from being scared of everybody all the time. And again, to those listening, I'm not trying to be a tough guy, but I'm not fucking scared of anybody anymore.
Yeah.
Because I at least know how a fight should go down.
Right.
I know what to do standing up. I have the basics idea of what happens when it gets to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot to be said to go from someone who's scared of every guy in the room to, I definitely don't want to fight anybody, but if it comes to it, even if I don't win, you're going to have a bad day. I've learned to hit hard enough to where, and that's all coaching. That's how great these coaches are, that like they can take someone like me, and if I hit you, you're having a bad day.
Right.
And that's how great our coaches are.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. When you got sponsored for the, how did that work out?
So I just reach out on social media a lot. If I like somebody.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where like, if I like a dude's tattoos, I'll go comment on his page and I'll shoot a message. Man, I love your tattoos. I love what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it was just about spreading love. And I was like, man, I love your company. They have these amazing graphics in it. And so the dude just, I still talk to him all the time now. And he got me into football. And like, I listen to the West Ham games and, you know, I'm following European football and
the real football.
Real football.
Real football.
So I was just reaching out, and then he's like, you know, man, I'm gonna send you a gi. And because that's cool. he thinks it's so important that even white belts feel special.
Mm-hmm.
Because they say the quickest way to get a guy out of a jiu-jitsu gym is give him a blue belt. Because once they start learning, just for some reason, a lot of people quit by the time they're a blue belt.
Okay.
I don't know why that is. I'm still new to all of it.
Huh.
But he was hoping to keep you going because they, like I said, you know, in the gym environment, they do care. And just because you're a white belt doesn't mean they're going to look down on you, because every black belt I've ever met has said, hey, man, we're just a white belt who didn't quit.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah, you know, I actually kind of, in the last year, have started doing stuff like that. I mean, and it does kind of sound cheesy, but like on Instagram, I follow primarily artists is what I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. I look at art and pages that promote art or whatever. And yeah, when I see something that I'm like, whoa, you know, and then you go to their page and I'm looking through, and there's definitely been a couple nights where I'm just like, and it's just a simple, like David Henry, his page is David Henry Nobody Jr., and this guy's just incredible. Every time I see him do something, I'm like, this is just mind-blowing. And I send him, you know, or I have been like, hey, that was really, really amazing or whatever. And and they're like, oh, yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for checking it out. But I think that's a cool thing to do. You know, acknowledging somebody's doing a great job. Even when I was working the door at Oliver's, and I would see a band, and you know, it's like, whatever, taboo for the door guy to tell a band good job. And I was like, oh, fuck that. That band was great. You know, like, pat him on the back and be like, that was excellent, you know. And you're just putting some good shit out, you know.
And you never know who's going to talk to you. Like, Kevin Ross is a Bellator fighter, is a you know, Muay Thai fighter.
Okay.
I just reached out to him. I was like, man, I loved your fight, man. You fought like a real champion when he won his belt. And he just fought so classy. And we talk now.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
That's cool.
And like, I bought his shorts. And so he liked and commented on my picture where I posted his shorts. And then there's a glove company out of Colorado. I hope I'm saying the name right. It's Onyx Gloves. I follow them as well. And I was like, man, I love your company. And the guy gave me his number, and now we just chat. And it's like, awesome. Are they going to sponsor me and give me free gloves? Probably not.
Right.
But it's like a good connective, just like, you know, now they like my pictures and I like their pictures. And it's, I think that if we try to spread a little more love, you know, just I find that it just gets you better when you comment to someone and say, man, I love what you're doing, as opposed to, hey, man, I fucking hate what you're doing. You suck.
Yeah.
Because people read that. And I will say, back in those days, man, it hurts.
Yeah.
Man, so if you're out there and you're thinking these people aren't reading the negative comments and you're not touching them, you are. And it does hurt. Oh, and it doesn't feel good. And it sucks. Cut it out.
I just thought about that. I mean, we're talking 2012. Trolls. So you were in comment land. I mean, when you were on TV, we were in the era of comment everything. Section, so you dealt with that.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
I had people, when they saw the cuts, be like, I wish you fucking killed yourself.
Oh.
You should kill yourself on camera.
God, these fucking kids.
And you know what's fucked up? I thought about it. I thought about doing a YouTube video where I kill myself on YouTube.
Oh, Jesus.
Because I was like in such a dark place. But they get to you, man. These people don't understand, like, the power, like, your words matter, and that's only going to fuel the trolls. But You really hurt people, man. Because I was really at a point where I'm going to kill myself on YouTube.
Man, well, I'm glad you did.
Me too.
Yeah,
I got a super hot wife. I got a super cute kid. Yeah. I got awesome friends. Like,
well, things are looking good for Brandon King.
They are.
Yeah. Well, shit, man.
I think out of all this, like, spread love.
Yeah.
You know,
And maybe not to, if you're worried about sounding corny, you know, don't be a dick. You know, if somebody does a good job, tell them they did a good job.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? You like what somebody did.
And sometimes
tell them you liked it.
Yeah. And even if you didn't like the music, if you liked their flow, if you liked their delivery, if you liked the performance, if you liked their outfit, if you liked just one chord they played, if that's all you liked of them, tell them that. Don't tell them.
Yeah. This whole you suck thing is just really, really bunk. And I think speaking for a lot of people when I say, like, just, it's not even if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all. It's just like, God, turn the page, go somewhere else.
You know what it is? It's the kids who stand on the outside of the gym wishing they had the balls to get their face kicked in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they get on the internet and they kick your ass with words.
It's true.
Because they don't have the balls to get punched in the mouth.
Probably really sad themselves. Anyway. Taking on the big work. Well, Brandon, man, it was great talking to you. Thanks for coming on the show, man.
Yeah, I had a blast. Excellent. It was a good time.
It's excellent. Is there anything else you want to tell the Omaha Talk listeners, the OT?
Omaha Talkers.
Omaha Talkers. What you got? The mic is yours.
Honestly, I would say just keep doing what you're doing. You made an outsider like myself feel welcome. You're one of the few cities that really does focus on spreading the love, and that's what we need now more than ever in these crazy times. Focusing on the things that make us different. It just, we shouldn't be, diversity is a good thing, but not when you focus on the diversity. You should be embracing the diversity and trying to find what you all have in common. And then the things that you don't have in common, try to politely learn from them. So man, just keep doing what you're doing. Cause you're going to see the arts really spring up here. You're gonna see a rising of art, of music, of this. There's something happening here in Omaha that's pretty incredible. I mean, there's a reason there's more millionaires per capita here than anywhere else, and anywhere else in the United States. Sure. And it's man, just keep doing what you're doing.
That's it. You heard it. Brandon, you got anything left?
Not that I can think of. I mean, we've got a couple of guests lined up that we're working out. So, I mean, yep. More episodes to come. But
more episodes to come.
Maha was great.
Real quick. Yeah, Parker, I want to talk about Maha.
Parker didn't make it.
I wasn't able to go and actually forgot that I had tickets in my possession. But I need to apologize to Rachel publicly and sincerely for that screw up. Had a sick baby. Snot everywhere. And, you know, he probably would have been okay. But I don't want to be the guy with the snotty baby.
So hot,
you know, it just, you know.
It was not good.
Mm. And one more thing.
The La Colona tent, though. The Mai Tais.
Ooh. Mwah. Shout out to Jocelyn. Yeah, Weiser Jocelyn. There.
And Josh Soto.
And Josh Soto. And, gosh, I feel like I had one more thing to say. We're talking about Hutch Fest.
Oh, Hutch Fest?
Hutch Fest is this weekend, so
I need to put this episode out tomorrow if it's any reference.
How about Saturday?
Yeah, true.
Well, Saturday. If you're hearing this on Saturday morning, tomorrow there is going to be a Fest of the Hutch, and Brandon is going to be there pumping his new brand, Greater Goods.
And Missy will, his bone mommy.
And his lovely wife, Missy, is going to launch her brand as well.
Yeah,
both new things. Yep. And it's all
gonna, and there's be gonna sweet. Be a lot of cool stuff. There's bands playing there too.
Bands playing, they'll probably have drinks, they're gonna have
I can't wait
food. A lot of vendors. You're going, Brandon?
Oh, I gotta support my homie.
There we go. See, come meet Brandon Kane.
Yeah,
you know, come
Brandon Kane
hi.
Of Real World signing autographs.
That's right. But yeah, come check it out. And thanks everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.